Hey, good afternoon. It's 1:06 in the Rocky Mountain West. This is the Around the House program, and we're so glad you're with us. Thanks for sharing this beautiful weekend with us. We appreciate it. We'll be here a couple hours. I'm Ken Moon. We talk about that special place that you and I call home, and 1 to 3 p.m. on Saturdays. And I believe our buddies up there in Casper, K2, are doing a delayed broadcast, but the broadcast is happening, and we're so grateful that we still have our Casper contingent up there. And if you want to check in with us, whether you're in Casper or whether you're in the Colorado Springs, Pikes Peak viewing area, quote, quote, just little play on words there. If you can hear us, you can call us at 719-473-1240 and live email at aroundthehouse.com. And either way, we'd love to hear from you, whatever's happening around that special place that you call home. So we have a guest today, a little programming note. Actually, a guest today and a guest next week. Today in the 2 o'clock hour, we'll have Michael O'Malley with us, who's one of the head honchos down there at Petrolli Roofing, and they've been a loyal advertiser of mine. I've been endorsing them for some time now, and we'll talk about roofing issues and what you should look for, and maybe we'll get into a little peripheral stuff like ventilation and that sort of thing, and we'll talk about the coming winter and what to be concerned about when it comes to your roof. So we'll kick things around a little bit. And then a week from today, and that would be the 20th, we'll have John Creddy with us. He's our old buddy that lives on the Western Slope, who is that gardening with an altitude guy. He's an expert in lawn, garden, bushes, trees, houseplants, pests, fertilizing, fungi, whatever is going on in your yard. He's an expert at that, so we'll talk to John. He's a prolific author, by the way. You can find John Creddy's books on all over Amazon.com. John Creddy, C-R-E-T-T-I, okay? So that's it, but we'd love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 719-473-1240. Here's a little list called The Cynical Philosopher. This is from my buddy Bob down there in Phoenix. And this is, you'll find some of these kind of cute, I think, kind of an aha kind of things, little aphorisms and plays on words that I kind of like. So here we go. The Cynical Philosopher. I find it ironic that the colors red, white, and blue stand for freedom until they're flashing behind you. When wearing a bikini, women reveal 90% of their body. Men are so polite, they only look at the covered parts. Isn't that great? Relationships are a lot like algebra. Have you ever looked at your ex and wondered why? I like that one. You know that tingly little feeling you get when you love someone? That's your common sense leaving your body. This one is good, too. Did you know that dolphins are so smart that within a few weeks of captivity, they can train people to stand on the edge of the pool and throw them fish? It's amazing how pets can train us. Men especially can be trained by dogs, and women by cats. I think that's accurate, although I had a cat that kind of trained me to do some things to get him a treat, and I can't believe that he did it so quickly. Anyway, let's see, what's next? My therapist says I have a preoccupation with vengeance. We'll see about that. I like that. I think my neighbor is stalking me as she's been Googling my name on her computer. I saw it through my telescope last night. Money talks, but all mine ever does is say goodbye. Amen to that. You're not fat. You're just easier to see. Does that make you feel better? If you think nobody cares whether you're alive or dead, try missing a couple of house payments. Yeah. My therapist said that my narcissism causes me to misread social situations. I'm pretty sure she was hitting on me. That's kind of cute. My 60-year kindergarten reunion is coming up soon, and I'm worried about the 175 pounds I've gained since then. That's good. Denny's has a slogan, if it's your birthday, the meal is on us. If you're in Denny's and it's your birthday, your life is not going that well. The pharmacist asked me my birthday again. I'm pretty sure she's going to get me a gift or something this year. The location of your mailbox shows how far away from your house you can go in a robe before you start looking like a mental patient. I think it's pretty cool how Chinese people made a language entirely out of tattoos. I never thought about that. Money can't buy happiness, but it keeps the kids in touch. Amen. And finally, this is a little complicated, but it's very cute. The reason Mayberry was so peaceful and quiet was because nobody was married. Andy, Aunt B, Barney, Floyd, Howard, Goober, Gomer, Sam, Ernest T. Bass, Helen, Thelma, Lou, Clara, and of course Opie were all single. The only married person was Otis, and he stayed drunk, lying in a jail cell. I think that show is still around in reruns. The Andy Griffith Show, yeah, good one. It's 11 minutes after the hour, and our phone number is 719-473-1240. We'd love to hear from you today. I've got a bunch of emails from this week that we can start on here. And this is an important one. I want to give this a little extra time. This is from Greg. I'm in the market for a carbon monoxide detector. Can you share with me your thoughts on the right one to buy? Well, I'll tell you the kind of CO detector I have in my house. That's the Nighthawk brand. It plugs in the wall and has a battery backup inside. Why do I like this one? Well, you're most vulnerable to carbon monoxide poisoning when you're asleep, of course. And if your furnace were spitting out this deadly gas, it would most likely come out of the floor vents. So since your head's down near the floor, closer to the floor than the ceiling, it's a good idea to measure the carbon monoxide down in the lower parts of your living space, right? That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? And thankfully, by the way, carbon monoxide poisoning's relatively rare. Infiltration most often comes not from the gas appliances, which we can be thankful for, like the furnace and fireplace and stove, but firemen tell me it comes from the garage. Idling your car on a cold morning, even with the big garage door open, can trap exhaust inside the garage, which can work your way into the house. I know it's neat to crawl into a warm car in the morning, but idle it instead out on the driveway with the doors locked. That's a much better idea because you get a big mass of cold air behind your garage door, and it can keep the carbon monoxide from actually leaving out through the door. One other admonition, many older houses built in the 60s have heat vents in the garage. If you have a heat vent in your garage from your furnace, you got to block it off. Like right now, because you can get carbon monoxide, gasoline, insecticide, paint thinner, solvents, and other fumes right into the house, and that's not what you want. If you want heat in your garage, get an electric, ceiling-mounted electric heater, but no heat vents into the garage. It's a big deal. But carbon monoxide, you want to have the CO detectors kind of down near where you sleep, closer to the floor. Of course, follow the manufacturer's directions and installation instructions to the letter. We will take a break now. Be back with your phone calls right after this. 719-473-1240 is our contact line, and we'll be right back right here on Around the House.
Around the House. That's why there's the Around the House program with Ken Moon. Give him a call now at 719-473-1240. That's 719-473-1240.
Welcome back. Let's get moving along here with some emails. By the way, our phone number, 719-473-1240. That's the contact line and live email at aroundthehouse.com. This is from, Sally. I have a low spot in my garage, which has been okay up until this year, and I don't want to go through another winter with the puddles from melting snow. How can I fix this? Yeah, that's a real irritating thing. A lot of times garage floors, they just settle. That's just what they do normally, and if they settle the wrong direction, tipping towards the house, then that can be a problem because that water can get under the foundation and under the house and cause all kinds of issues. So a couple of solutions here we could try. You could install a heavy-duty car mat with raised edges. You can find these online. They're sort of like a big cookie sheet. Water dribbles onto the sheet and is trapped by the raised edges of it. It evaporates overnight, theoretically anyway. You can find them online for, I don't know, $300 or so for a two-car size. But it's that sounds like a lot of money, but not if you have to put a whole new garage floor in, right? So give that a try. Another stopgap treatment for garage puddles depends where they are, but sometimes you can make a little dam out of 2x4s glued to the glued to the concrete floor, like a little, if the water accumulates where the garage meets the house, that is the farthest direction, the farthest distance from the garage door, then you can put a little, just take 2x4s and get some PL400. That's that polyurethane construction adhesive all the home builders use. And just glue pieces of 2x4 down to trap the water and capture it and let it sit there and evaporate. Same idea. That's just, it depends where the puddle accumulates. But it is, it is a problem. I do like the idea of the car mat, though. That's the best solution of all with the raised edges. Let's see here. What else we got? Oh, from Mike. He wants to know about permit. We talked about this last week about building permits. Whether you need them or not. So Mike has a 40-year-old house, wants to add a closet and a basement, in the basement to make another bedroom. Does he need a permit? Technically, you really don't. If you're just adding a couple of just sheetrock walls that are non-load-bearing and a door, then it's no big deal. But the big deal part and the part the city would care about is the windows in that room. Which may be too small. Houses built 40 years ago, that's the early 80s. Some of them would not have been required to meet the current codes about egress window, emergency escape configurations, which mean they're a big window with a big window well that firemen can crawl in and people can escape through. So you need to check. In a house where these windows weren't required back in the old days, maybe in the 70s, the city usually will allow you to have one window, escape-type window, somewhere in the basement so people can get out that are sleeping down there. But if you don't have any egress windows or if the window well's not big enough, then the city would care, yeah, that you're adding another bedroom. Now, I don't know if you have any bedrooms down there already and if they comply with the escape requirements, but you can have a company come in and actually slice the foundation with a big concrete saw and put a big window in there. So the cost for that, it's not inexpensive. It's $3,000 or $4,000 minimum to put an egress or escape window in a bedroom. But believe me, when you go to sell the house, the question will come up, did you pull a permit? Is this a permitted bedroom? Or the home inspector may notice the window's too small. So go easy here. The closet's the closet's the least important part of this. Again, non-load-bearing walls, just throw in those, you know, some 2x4s and sheetrock. And if the window's big enough in the bedroom, you're golden. But be careful. You might want to look up the regulations on egress windows, and you might even want to go down and talk to the city sort of, just as a preliminary conversation and take some photos of what your basement is like now and where the egress windows are, if there are any. And discuss with them kind of the ramifications of this. For those of you that have bedrooms in the basement that maybe you're grandfathered in from the old days, from the 60s and 70s, then nobody can afford to rip out all those windows and put new ones in. Besides, the bedrooms are down there already, and we've been using them for years. The kids grew up down there and all that. I get all that. But one way you can marginally make a basement bedroom safer is to do two or three of the following things. First of all, you need an emergency escape out of the bedroom, and you can bolt a small ladder to the wall, or you could put a dresser and bolt it or glue it to the wall under the window so that people can jump up and out. If there's a screen in the window, you can put some kind of a board there to poke the screen out, perhaps. Fire extinguishers in the hallway, maybe in each bedroom also. And add smoke detectors inside the bedrooms and outside. Those will marginally make the basement bedroom safer. Now, they technically don't comply with the requirements for escape, emergency escape, but it's better than nothing. So if you have an old house, small windows, bedrooms down there, put the extra smoke detectors in, fire extinguishers, and escape ladders or escape furniture, if you'd like, somehow to make those rooms safer. But Mike, to finish up the conversation, if you're adding a bedroom, you want to make sure you're adding what would be called a legal bedroom, in quotes, and so you might even consult with the city or even a small contractor on how to get that done. 719-473-1240. We're going to take a quick break. Be back with your phone calls and with emails right after this, right here on Around the House.
Fix-It videos can be so confusing. Let Ken Moon walk you through it on Around the House. Give him a call now at 719-473-1240. That's 719-473-1240.
Welcome back. 24 minutes before the hour at 2:06, roughly, give or take. Michael O'Malley from Petrolli Roofing will be here to talk about roofs, summer and winter concerns. And you know, you may have hail damage on your roof and not really be aware of it. I know that happened to me once, and we can talk a little bit about what to look for and maybe get a roof inspection in your life. So Petrolli Roofing, Michael O'Malley in the 2 o'clock hour. And next week in that same hour at 2 o'clock, we'll have our buddy John Creddy, gardening with an altitude guy, who has been with me, you know, every 5 or 6 weeks for years. I can't count how many years. John's an old friend, and he's an expert when it comes to lawns, gardens, bushes, trees, pesticides, all the things, even houseplants, all the things you're concerned about. So next week, John Creddy in the 2 o'clock hour. Let's see here. What do we got? What do we got? What do you got? Oh, Ginny says we need to replace some rotting floor joists under my redwood deck. Someone said to use treated lumber. What do you recommend? Well, treated lumber is a good choice. It kind of depends how far it is off the ground. If your deck is up in the air 6 or 8 feet, you know, above, you have a patio underneath or something, then it's sort of optional. But if it's down close to the ground where there's a lot of water implications and blown in snow and moisture and all that, I would probably suggest treated lumber. When you replace the joists, here's the secret though. I want you to put up some waterproofing on top of the joist, that is tar paper or some kind of plastic on top of each new board before you put it in, and that isolates it from the decking above and keeps the water from rotting. I'm sure your rotting floor joists now are rotting because water has gotten, you know, down in that gap between the deck boards and the floor joist and just deteriorates that wood very, very quickly. So tar paper, like there's a product called Ice and Water Shield, which is a sticky tar paper material you can put on top of each joist, and that will help with that moisture issue. So you want to isolate it from the decking above. Otherwise, there's a perpetual wet spot there, and that wet spot is what makes those joists deteriorate prematurely. You can sister the new joists alongside the old ones. Sister is a term that people use in the framing business. It means, you know, just double up what you have now. You got a bad one, you put a good one next to it. Once they're, but the sister joist, the new floor joist, Ginny, should not touch the old one. And then once they're secured, if you want to, you can remove the old one by cutting them out with a reciprocating saw, or you can leave them in place, whatever you want to do. The worst ones, if they're really rotting bad, you might just get them out of there. You can use a chisel and any kind of combination, maybe a skill saw or just an old-fashioned hammer and crowbar to get rid of the worst ones. But yeah, the point here is put your new joist in, but make sure there's tar paper on top of it. That's how we build decks. I don't know why it took us so long to just occur to us that we should have been putting waterproofing on top of joists a long time ago. But we do it now. And you should, too, as you replace each of these rotting joists. And that's the thing with an old deck. You didn't tell me how old your house was, Ginny, but in my home inspector travels, decks that are 20 years and older tend to have one or two or here and there floor joists, because the floor joists rot out first because of that wet spot we were talking about. And so onesie-twosies, you know, one at a time, here and there, you want to replace those floor joists with a new sister joist next door. But yes, use treated lumber unless the joist is up and out of the weather and elevated off. If it's anywhere near the ground, be sure to use treated lumber. If it's up off the ground, as I say, 6, 8 feet tall, 8 feet over the existing ground, maybe there's a patio underneath, then treated lumber on those joists would be optional on that. 719-473 1240 is our telephone number. Rick says we have a varnished front door we want to repaint. I'm not surprised. Varnished doors don't do well in our climate because of all our UV sunlight here. And you don't have to totally strip off the old varnish, but you got to scuff it and sand it enough to get the gloss gone. So you can scuff sand the surface by hand. When that glossiness is gone and you feel it with your fingers, it feels kind of flat. Then apply a good latex primer like Kills or Bullseye 123. But you got to sand it first. You got to make some kind of a binding area, a flat area with sandpaper that will let the latex paint cling to, if you get what I mean. So you can sand it, as I say, by hand, or if you want to use an orbital sander, any kind of a electric sander if you want. Just be careful to get that glossy part of the varnish off. And then you can use steel wool between coats of primer. Sometimes you put that primer on, there'll be little burrs that are created on the surface, and you can rub those down with fine steel wool to get it nice and smooth, and then put another coat on. And finally, a good acrylic latex exterior paint. You'll find your door is so much easier to maintain and will hold up better in the sun if you get rid of the varnish and go back to regular paint. You can touch it up anytime you want. So a varnished front door, the sun yellows. Even varnish that's supposed to be UV resistant yellows quite easily in our high elevation sunshine here. So you want to degloss it and put some primer on, paint it, and that'll look a lot better than what you can. And what's cool is you can put an accent color on the front door. You can use a red or some kind of green or whatever color you want as an accent, maybe a maroon type thing. Depends on your exterior decorating elements to kind of contrast or match what you have now. But I think a front door with an accent color on it really makes a statement about, here's the front door and we want you to come in. And it focuses the eye on the entrance and makes the house seem much more inviting and so on. So, yeah, scuff that off really good with sandpaper. Put a couple coats, even three coats of a good latex primer. It kills or Bullseye. I like Bullseye a little better, because it dries more quickly. So once you sandpaper the surface, put the primer on, steel wool over the primer so it's nice and smooth, then put your exterior latex paint over it, and you are in business. So I hope that's helpful to you. Yeah, varnished front doors, it doesn't take long for the varnish to just look terrible in our high elevation sunshine here. 719-473-1240 is our contact line. And don't forget Michael O'Malley talking roofing. And that'll be at 206. We're going to look forward to talking to him. Petrolli Roofing is a loyal sponsor of mine, so we'll get him on the air. We'll get them on the air. Get Michael on the air, rather. Right at 206, right after the news. Petrolli sponsors. There's something, if you haven't heard this segment in the morning news block here on the station, KRDO, there's something called a Ken Moon Minute, which have been running for, I don't know, 10 years, huh, TJ? Something like that. Long time, at least, yeah. And it's a little one-minute essay on a particular subject, and I think you'll enjoy those, and Petrolli Roofing sponsors those. There's little subjects, window wells and furnaces and how to take care of a little minor electrical things, that sort of thing, subject by subject, a 60-second kind of a blurb, if you will, and Petrolli's a sponsor on that. Michael O'Malley from Petrolli at 206. We're going to take a break now. Be back with your phone calls right after that. 719-473-1240 right here on Around the House.
Got a fix-it problem at your house? Ken Moon is here to help. Give him a call now at 719-473-1240. That's 719-473-1240.
Hey, it's 11 minutes before the hour at 2:06, right after the news. Our second hour, we'll have Michael O'Malley from Petrolli Roofing. We'll kick things around with him a little bit. In the meantime, we'd love to hear from you. And we have live email, of course, at roundthehouse.com, which I have not checked recently. So let me make sure I haven't missed anybody. Speaking of that, by the way, I want to make sure that you know that during the week, if you have something come up at your house you want to chit-chat about via email, we can do that nicely. Go to aroundthehouse.com, and it's a second button from the left. Click on that, and the email will come right to me, and I will be glad to answer and respond to whatever your concern is. Now, try to keep it one subject. Keep it pithy and succinct. One subject per email, if you will, please. That's important, so I don't get all tangled up in multiple issues, okay? Lisa, we were talking about carbon monoxide detectors about a half hour ago or so. Lisa says, we're in a one-bedroom condo. The furnace is in a separate room off the patio. Do we still need a carbon monoxide detector? And the answer in one word is yes, you do. The hot air from the furnace still blows into your bedroom and your living room and into the condo itself. And if there's any kind of problem with the furnace, like the heat exchanger goes bad, you could be overcome by carbon monoxide, which is a bad deal. And, you know, I don't need to tell you, you've heard all the stories about this odorless, colorless gas. It's insidious. You just don't wake up in the morning kind of. I don't want that to happen to you, Lisa. So get yourself a carbon monoxide detector. There are some exceptions, but they're very, very far and few between. An apartment complex or condominium with a central boiler would be an exception. In that case, as long as you don't have gas stoves, gas water heater, gas fireplaces, or any other appliances, the only requirement is a detector in the boiler room, because you just get hot water running through the radiators in your condo in that case if there's a central boiler. But here's kind of the list, and this list isn't complete, but I'd like to go over this with you. The presence of any of the following mandates a carbon monoxide detector, and this list isn't necessarily complete, but these are the big items: an attached garage, a wood or gas fireplace or stove, gas range, water heater, boiler, of course, if you have a boiler, and of course the big one is the gas hot air furnace. And did I say gas dryer? You know, I didn't have gas dryer on that list. So gas range, gas dryer, fireplace, regardless of what fuel it uses, a garage, and heating equipment, though you'd have to have a carbon monoxide detector. You know, and I think it's a good idea just to have one anyway. A lot of people burn candles, and you know, maybe that would indicate maybe you want a carbon monoxide detector. It's just, they're so inexpensive. Just go ahead and get one. Why not? Why wouldn't you? Okay. And just to have one in the bedroom area, the law in Colorado, I'm not sure about Wyoming, but the law in Colorado is that you have to have one within 15 feet of any bedroom door. So I'll let you make a decision about where you need to put carbon monoxide detectors. A lot of builders will put a combination smoke detector, carbon monoxide detector, like on the ceiling. Now, that covers the law and the requirements, but I don't like that. I like to separate them. Smoke detector up high, because smoke accumulates kind of near the ceiling, and the carbon monoxide detector down lower, which is where you are when you're sleeping in the house, and that's when you're most vulnerable to carbon monoxide poisoning. During the day, usually if you get flu-like symptoms, if your pets are acting weird, if you have a bad headache that won't go away, all of those are indications of carbon monoxide poisoning, in which case, get out of the house right away. Call 911, as you know. That's the answer. And pets are particularly vulnerable because they have smaller bodies, smaller respiratory systems. And so if you suspect carbon monoxide, get out like right then and then call 911 from a neighbor. Thankfully, their carbon monoxide poisoning is very rare. Most of the old space heaters that are gone from our housing environment around, but it's a big deal. This law, there was a tragedy, I believe, up in Aspen somewhere, where a family tragically died from carbon monoxide poisoning, and this law in Colorado got passed very quickly. I'm trying to think how long ago that was. Has it been 10 or 12 years, something like that? Anyway, it's a good law. Carbon monoxide detector near any bedrooms in your house. Smoke detector on the ceiling. Carbon monoxide detector down near the floor. I think that's the answer here that you want. But, yeah, Lisa, you have a furnace. Even though it's not technically in your unit, it still blows hot air in there, and that puts you in jeopardy. 719-473-1240. Here's a timely one from CB. What do you think of those plug-in insect repellers? Those, I think they're usually ultrasound. From the feedback I've gotten over the years on the show, they don't seem to work very long. Apparently, there's a little repellent effect for a couple of weeks or something, and then things return to normal. I guess the bugs and the critters, other critters get used to it, maybe ignore it, fade into the background, kind of like elevator or doctor's office music kind of idea. So they don't work all that well from the feedback I've gotten. Now, if you've had a different experience, I think they make them for mice and moles and voles and other critters, snakes, and whatever pests you're worried about getting in the house. I think there are versions of them. But from the feedback I'm getting, they don't really work all that well. So for what that's worth, nice try, but I would save my money. Nick wants to know, before we go to our news break here, I'd like to whole house fan in my upper hallway to get the heat out of the house. My HVAC guys says they're quite noisy. Can I find a quiet one? Well, yeah, they are a little noisy, but the good news is you don't run them more than 15 or 20 minutes anyway. They do kind of vibrate, and they have to be secured to the attic framing, the 2x4s up there and so on, and they do transmit the noise throughout the house, but you don't run them long. You just, after the sun goes down, the air cools down, you run them for 15 or 20 minutes, suck air through the patio door or the windows, and blow it out through the attic. Sometimes you used to be able to get ones with a belt drive instead of a direct drive motor, but I don't know if they do make belt drive ones anymore. I tend to think that they probably don't, but yeah, don't worry about it. I have central air and I have a whole house fan. I have both at my house, and I like the combination because our air is so thin here. As you know, it cools down very quickly after sunset, and so you get that temperature drop, right away down when it gets below about 70, 72, something like that. Turn that whole house fan on for 20 minutes, and man, that house cools down. The attic is purged of all that heat from the sunshine during the day, so they're a very efficient way to cool down the house on their own or to be used in combination with an air conditioning central air system. They work very, very well. But you don't want to run it too long. There's another jeopardy. Here we go, carbon monoxide. There are reports, but very rarely, thank goodness, of whole house fans because if they move so much air, they can draw carbon monoxide fumes perhaps through the water heater and get carbon monoxide in the house. So you don't want to run them long anyway. Put a one-hour timer in for your whole house fan so if you fall asleep, it'll turn off on its own. But I like them. I have one in my house, a little noisy, but you don't run it long enough to really even worry about it. Well, that's all she wrote for the first hour of the program, and we want you to stay tuned next hour because at the beginning of the next hour, right 6 minutes after the hour or so, Michael O'Malley from Petrolli Roofing will be here talking about roofing, a lot of other topics right here on Around the House. Give us a call, 719-473-1240. We'll see you right after the news. Welcome back to the program. It's 2:06 in the Rocky Mountain West. We're glad you're with us, and thank you for sharing your beautiful Rocky Mountain weekend with us. It's going to be a little warm today, as you know, maybe 90-ish, but starting, I think, Monday, it looks like the whole week cools down 10 degrees or so, which is great. Maybe that's a harbinger of maybe cooler autumn weather on the way. So anyway, that's all good stuff to look forward to. I'm ready for a little fall in the air and a little nip in the air. I'm sure you are also. So anyway, thanks for sharing your weekend with us. Don't forget the podcast of the program there. Now we have, 8 or 10 or so podcasts in the queue. and just simply go to the KRDO.com website, or you can stop at my website, aroundthehouse.com, and there's a little listen to podcast. Click there, and it'll take you right to that same site, and you can listen to the last, I think starting the first part of July is our first podcast. So we'd be glad. And by the way, TJ was sharing with me the traffic that's been going to the aroundthehouse.com podcast. I'm very pleased about that. So keep coming. Keep listening. We love it when you listen to the podcast. So we have Michael O'Malley on the line, right? Michael from Petrolli Roofing has joined us as a special guest this afternoon on the Around the House show. Michael, how you doing?
Ken, I'm doing awesome. How are you, sir?
Great, great. Good to talk to you. And, you know, I was kind of previewing or teasing your appearance here. I haven't had a lot of hail this summer. Now, it's a vicious rumor that roofing contractors pray for hail day and night. I know that's a rumor that you guys have heard many times before, but it's so funny. Remember back in 16 and 18, the hail just kept coming and coming and coming. So,
oh my goodness, that's we couldn't get it to stop.
Mother Nature, huh?
It is, and you know, I think all rumors are based in some truth. The Colorado Springs definitely has significant number of roofers based on the fact that we get significant hail. And so when we go through a drought of it, like the last 3 years, those roofing companies who don't have set business, I'm sure they are praying.
Yeah. Well, that's right. You know, we talk, you know, in your advertising, and I've talked on the air before about the so-called storm chasers, the folks that come and go, I know I've heard stories about people from out of state co-opting the names of local roofers and all that nonsense and funny business when there's a lot of hail around. But then there's the regular folks that here been here a long time and will be here a long time, like Petrolli Roofing. And I know that's what you're referring to. And you know, the hail will come back. You know that I it's so funny. We were talking last week about climate change here on the program. And one of my opinions is there are some people, well, actually many people, who think history began the day they were born. The fact is the climate changes and weather changes. And Lord knows we'll have tons of hail next year, next season. Who knows? And there's a lot of season left, right, this year anyway. So
yeah, that's right. You know, we're not entirely out of the season. So I still recommend people pay attention to that, take the precautions necessary. But, you know, it's interesting to see the cycles in Colorado Springs. We've been here for a long time. And, you know, you go from forest fire to flood to hail to forest fire to flood to hail. And it's my mom is constantly calling, checking on me, saying, what in the world is going on in Colorado Springs?
The only thing we've missed in the last 10 years are locusts, right?
that's right.
And actually, okay. There are stories of locusts during the Dust Bowl years. I guess back in the 30s, the locusts were out here doing a bunch of damage. Anyway, I know you're not an expert on locusts, so we won't go down that road. But
no, but I do enjoy our local wildlife. Do you remember 2012? Was it 2012 with the Miller moths? It was like
Yeah. Now that's a cycle too, isn't it? And I've heard 7 years, and I've heard 17 years of moths coming. I remember back in I've been here a long time, back in the late 70s, I was building houses, and we would go, you know, you close up a house, the windows are closed, and there's thousands of moths banging themselves against the glass and making a terrible mess. And that was a real true invasion. And was it 12 that they were here the last time, big time? I don't remember the year.
I thought it was 12, yeah.
I'm sure you're right. I remember 12 was a big hail year, too. I live in the northeast part of town, and I had 2-inch hailstones on my lawn that I remember that. So, but I wanted, when I was previewing your appearance, a person can have hail damage on their roof, and this has happened to me. A couple of different times, you go up there, and because I climb on my roof once in a while, and you know, a lot of people don't want to do that, but I do it anyway. And I've noticed hail damage in years gone by, and I didn't, and probably insurable, and I wasn't really sure what storm, what year, when that happened. Maybe I wasn't home when the storm hit, that kind of thing.
Sure.
So it doesn't hurt to have somebody like you guys get up on the roof once in a while. Is that true?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, we see it all the time out here where people will call and say, hey, you know, I don't think anything's happened. I just want to do my annual checkup. Can you guys come out? And we'll come out, and sure enough, they've got hail. And the stories, just like you said, they were out of town for a weekend, and it hit. And if they're not seeing the information on the ground that tells the story, they have no idea, right?
Well, and that leads me to my next question. What happens if does the insurance company need a date of the loss? I mean, are they understanding of just what you and I are talking about here?
Yeah, they absolutely are. But usually insurance will give you about a year to 18 months to file a claim from a date of loss. And so what they'll do is they'll go back through storm records and say, well, you know, we see hail here, but according to our records from, you know, the National Weather System, we haven't seen any hail within the last year. So that's old, and it's past the claimable date, if you will. So, you know, we recommend, that's part of the reason why we recommend just having us out there for free. To check your roof and make sure you're not missing that event.
Well, that's the free checkup is a good deal. Especially, you know, I don't encourage people to climb on roofs. One false step and you can really be in trouble. And I do it because, you know, I do some home inspecting, so I'm kind of used to doing it.
Sure.
But yeah, a free check can't hurt. And what I between the lines, what you were just were talking about. Do insurance companies, Michael, keep track of weather? In other words, do they get reports in their computers about who had what, hail, when, and all that? Is that something they do?
Yeah, you know, just from a logistical standpoint, it behooves them to make sure that they're tracking when storm events happen so that they can activate their adjusters. You know, in 2018, when that monster storm hit, they had to bring in a ton of adjusters because the local adjusters can't handle it. And so they're watching for that event. Sometimes I think that they watch and pray that people don't make claims, but that's between you and me. but whether they're watching it too closely or not, they always go back into the records and verify, you know, because there are companies out there that'll go around and try to cause damage so that they can make a claim, especially in leaner years.
Tell me, that's something I had not heard of. You'd think I would have, having been around this radio show for going on 30 years. But tell me about that. What do they do?
Yeah, so there's actually something called the Hague Manual, and it's what insurance owners or insurance adjusters are trained on. And they're trained to spot artificially induced damage. And so people go up there with a ball-peen hammer or something like that and create
spud bar or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And maybe rip up shingles to simulate wind, but you know, nothing is as random as weather. And so when you go up there, an adjuster is trained to spot whether it's been weather related or not. And so they'll deny a claim and you'll be left with damage on your roof.
Yeah.
If they think that it's not weather related. So
you know, the analogous comment I'll make, and I have heard about this, you know, the old heat exchanger thing in a furnace. There are disreputable, thankfully there are very few of them, that will go in with dental picks or some other thing and scratch up a heat exchanger to sell somebody a new furnace. Same kind of thing, right? So
absolutely. And that's why
deal with a company you've heard of, right?
Exactly. And one that's got a reputation that you can follow online, right? Our digital reputation is a big deal. And so when you look online and you're trying to track reviews, you're going to get a story of whether that's a company you want to work with or not.
Listen, I need to take a break. Some more stuff I want to talk to you about. Obviously, I just got an email from a good friend of mine, a text rather. He sent me a picture, Colorado Springs, 1899. It's a picture of a storefront with just wall-to-wall dead locusts on the sidewalk in front of this store. So 1899, I wasn't around, but you know, I'll take your word for it. My buddy Rick sent me that. So yeah, I guess by any other term, they're locusts. But anyway, yeah, let's talk more about, and by the way, if you want to ask Michael a, a roofing question, if you're concerned about maybe somebody's rung your doorbell and scared you into maybe wanting to get you a new roof, you can call us and do that at 719-473-1240. Any roofing issues or questions you have, we're talking to Michael O'Malley from Petrolli Roofing, and we'll be right back with your phone calls and some more chit-chat about roofs right after this, right here on Around the House.
Your faucet to your furnace and everywhere in between. Ken Moon has solutions around the house. Give him a call now at 719-473-1240. That's 719-473-1240.
Hey, we're talking to Michael O'Malley from Petrolli Roofing, and if you want to talk to him, you just heard the number, 473-1240. It's 22 minutes after the hour. And Michael, I didn't want to gloss over that. You all will provide a free inspection. We were just talking about maybe you had hail and didn't even know it. Let's get your phone number out there a couple times just to make sure people can get on board with that freebie.
Sure. That's the way to reach us is 719-375-8773. And we love getting out and doing inspections, just getting out into the neighborhood, seeing our community. You know, one of the things about going with a local company is they invest locally, and they're active locally. And so we love getting out into the community and seeing what's going on out there as well.
Yeah, you know, and I've talked about this for year after year on my program about how to pick a contractor. A couple of ways, listen to advertising on the Ken Moon Minute and on this show is one way, but sure, also homeowner referrals from your neighbors or friends. And look for trucks that you see around your community, not just when the hail comes, but all year round. Right. So those are some good indicators of how to pick somebody locally. Of course, if you want to get real kind of down and dirty, you can call regional building and check if somebody has a license, that sort of thing. But, you know, like mm-hmm. you guys are around town, people see your trucks and hear about you. And that's a big deal. I wanted to spend a few minutes. I've had people call before about hot attics, and one of my recommendations is when you get a new roof on your house, I like ridge vents. I assume you may also, and ventilation. You can add ventilation much more easily when you're getting a new roof. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you're definitely right. You know, a lot of technology has changed. Talking about being through the community, a lot of the houses that we go to were built in the 70s through the 90s, and a lot of technology has changed, including ridge vents. So we find a lot of under-ventilated roofing. And so you're absolutely right. When you're getting your roof replaced, that's the best time to do it. We've got the best access with the least amount of damage by the construction. And so, when you have somebody out, make sure they're willing to at least do an evaluation of your current ventilation.
Yeah, and the ridge vent, I really like ridge vents because it's in the hottest part of the attic. One thing I noticed, Michael, I know you meant a comment on this. Builders put in these so-called turtle vents, the square ones, as you know. But builders are so worried about snow blowing in that there's a heavy snow screen, so you're not getting a lot of air moving through those turtle vents. I like gable vents, which I'm sure you agree with me, but the roof vent, man, that's and you guys do those, I assume, huh?
Absolutely, we do. And you know, one of the things about a new construction or even older construction, what we've seen, and I'm sure you've seen, is people over time will get new insulation blown into their attic or added to their attic because it's too cold. But what happens is when they get that blown in, they plug up the soffit vent.
Yeah.
And so even if you have turtle vents, that's only an exhaust. You need an intake. And if that insulation is blocking the intake, those vents are practically worthless.
Yep, because you got to have air going in one side or one place and going out the other, hopefully low to high, right? That's where the heat likes to go. We've got a caller. Mike wants to talk to you. Has a roofing question, so let's get him on the line right now. Mike, you're on the air on Around the House with Ken Moon and Michael O'Malley. What's up, buddy?
Hey, I got a question. I've been hearing some commercials about some kind of roof that you could spray something on your roof to regenerate the roofing if it's not too old. I guess it kind of makes it makes it last longer. Have you heard anything about that, or what's your opinion on that?
Sure, I have heard about that, and it is something that is becoming more popular in our market, but it's not as effective. Like, you won't get any insurance breaks for it. You won't get any, in my opinion, you don't really get increased longevity out of it. We've looked into it, whether that's a product that we want to offer. There's a lot of places where it might be more beneficial. Like, if you get a lot of algae buildup or salt buildup, like on the coasts. But in our environment, what we're not seeing the type of brittle shingles that would help with, or we're not seeing the type of algae buildup that would help with. So for our bang for buck, I think that a customer would be better off saving for their deductible. And like Ken and I were talking about, just knowing that there's going to be hail coming. So that's my opinion. I haven't seen the cost yet. Did you get any quotes on it?
No, I just been hearing commercials about it and how it adds life to your roof.
Michael, is it like a polymer or an epoxy or what? I'm not familiar with it. What is it?
I guess it's
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
Go ahead,
no,
Mike.
No, go ahead. You know more about it than I do. I just heard the commercial.
Yeah, the goal is to resaturate with a type of polymer, not coat, but resaturate the or impregnate those shingles with a type of I forget what the term is for it, but it resaturates the shingles, makes them more pliable. But what it doesn't do is, let's say you've got hail damage. What it doesn't do is replace that asphalt that is supposed to be the protectant over the fiberglass layer. And so all it does is make the areas that were already doing okay more okay, but it doesn't regenerate the existing damage. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. That makes a lot. The way I heard the commercials, that you put this on there, you know, before there's hail damage, and supposedly it will add life to your roof. But, you know, who knows how long that, that is.
And the theory behind that side is that hail impacts a brittle shingle more dramatically than it does a new shingle, right? The new shingle's got a lot of pliability. And so the more pliable the shingle is, the less damage it receives from a hail impact. But you're not getting the, like I said, that insurance discount. And what's going to happen is maybe it'll protect up to 1.5 inch hail, but the hail that we see people filing claims from is 1.75 to 2 inch hail, and nothing is going to protect against that.
Mike, if you want to, we're coming up to a break here, but please stay tuned. I'm going to let you go, but we're going to talk about Class 3, Class 4. I want to talk about hail-resistant shingles, whether they're a good deal or not with Michael, but we have to take a break, and we'll do that right after this. If you want to talk roofing with Michael O'Malley from Petrolli Roofing, we'd be glad to take your calls at 719-473-1240 and live email at aroundthehouse.com. So we will see you right around the corner after the break, right here on Around the House.
From your roof to your foundation and everywhere in between, Ken Moon has solutions around the house. Give him a call now at 719-473-1240. That's 719-473-1240.
Welcome back. It's 25 minutes before the hour. We're talking to Michael O'Malley from Petrolli Roofing about roofing issues. And we'll talk in a minute about gutters, maybe some ventilation, attic ventilation we've discussed. I wanted to talk in lieu of Mike's, by the way, if you want to call us and talk roofing with Michael, please do. It's 719. We'd be glad to get you on the air. 719-473-1240. I've been doing this show a long time, as you know, Michael. And back years ago, the Malarkey Company kind of came along. They may have been the first sort of advertisers and creators of hail-resistant roofing. And now, of course, we have Class 3, Class 4 hail-resistant roofs. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that in terms of the benefit cost-benefit ratio and that sort of thing. Are you guys doing mostly hail-resistant roofs now?
We are. You know, with as competitive as the market is right now, we've been offering free Class 4 upgrades to people, and those people notice significant savings on their insurance policies when they go with a Class 4. You know, insurance has a vested interest in getting that discount out there because they'll save money on not having to replace that roof in a hailstorm.
Yeah, so Class 4 is kind of the de rigueur. It's just
the gold standard,
you do it all the time. Yeah. So, I know if people ask for regular 30-year asphalt shingles, I guess you'll do it. But you recommend the Class 4.
Yeah, and you know, not everyone's got a different philosophy on it, sir. You know, there are some people who are like, look, you know, I know I might save on it, but if a hailstorm comes and it damages my paint and my gutters and my windows, but it doesn't damage my roof, but I've got to file a claim anyway, I might as well just go with the standard shingles and have a whole claim encapsulated at once. You know, and so there's conflicting thoughts with people as far as their personal needs with how they're going to file an insurance claim.
Yeah. Well,
does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And now the construction of a Class 4 roof, it's just, there's more of a, am I right about this? More of a cushion underneath so the hail bounces a little better and doesn't penetrate. Am I saying it right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So it's called SBS infused, or it's a type of polymer that gives it more of a trampoline effect that receives and bounces the hail back instead of letting that hail just make an impact. Imagine jumping from your roof onto the ground in the feel of your knees on it versus jumping onto a trampoline. You know, that trampoline definitely absorbs the force and redirects it. So,
and Class 4 roofs generally, I know this is not an absolute, but generally can handle hail up to what size before they start to get damaged?
Yeah, most companies will say that they can handle at least 1¾ inches up to 2.5-inch hail.
Wow.
Before you're noticing that damage. Yeah. Yeah, and that's why people have that concern, right? A 2.5-inch, or let's say 2¼-inch hail might not damage their roof at that point, but it'll definitely damage paint, gutters, windows.
Window frames, yeah. Yeah.
So people, especially in Colorado, they're like, well, I should get a roof every 5 to 7 years. You know, that's what their thoughts are. I get a free upgrade every 5 to 7 years with as much as we get hail.
There was call this an old wives' tale or whatever. When I first got here, I've been here since the late 60s, and the rumor was every 9 years on average in every neighborhood in Colorado Springs will get a hailstorm bad enough to get new roofs. And so, and you just mentioned 7. So, you know, I guess averages are just what they are, but most neighborhoods over a long period of time just don't escape, do they?
No, not at all. And I mean, you've seen some changes since the 60s, right? Like the construction we have today, what's been a significant change for you from the 60s to now?
Well, I'll tell you, the when I started building in the early 70s, we were using plywood sheathing on the roofs, but 3/8-inch, which is unbelievable to think about now. Very spongy when you walked on it. It didn't have the holding power for the roofing nail. We used roofing nails in those days. And that's one in your part of the construction process. I'm sure you run across 3/8-inch sheathing with old roofs, and I bet your guys think it's a little weird.
Yeah, you know, just walking on those roofs, you know, you're used to that sponginess as being bad decking, but then you look a little bit closer and you're like, no, the decking's fine. It's just, it's so thin. What were they thinking back then?
But I know,
you know, cost and availability, I'm sure.
Well, the other big change is, and I've talked about this many times, is I started building in 1970, 71, and insulation, Michael, was just sort of an afterthought. Oh, yeah, we got to put a little. So we put 4 inches in the attic and maybe a 2-inch insulation bat behind the sheetrock. Big deal, you know, single pane windows. And then the OPEC oil shocks hit in 73, and we woke up and said, uh-oh, we better start saving money. But it's unbelievable to think now. And there are houses here in Colorado Springs to this day, which were, I'm sure they've been upgraded by now, which were built, they were brick veneer houses, and it was thought, well, the brick veneer, the inside plaster and stud wall. Maybe we don't need any wall insulation. So there are houses built in the 40s and 50s that didn't have any wall insulation. It's unbelievable how that's all changed. And the other thing is, and I want your comments on this, the weather has changed. We used to get a lot more severe winters now than we do here. And so maybe we don't have the ice and snow issues that we might have had in the 70s. But that hail, that's still always in our future, isn't it?
It sure is. And, you know, it's been interesting, and I'm sure you're aware and your followers are aware that, those late May storms, those winter storms where you get that, the trees start to thaw, but we get what did we have, 2 feet of snow on May 26th? And it just snapped limbs all over, impacted a lot of roofs. And it's interesting, the cycles of weather that we're getting. Some heavy wind storms in December, you remember that, the weekend of...
Oh, yeah. December 15th, right? Where
Christmas,
all the trees came down? Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. And so, again, we were out for our customers doing free inspections on that. And it's amazing how often people will tell me, I hear it too often, Ken, that I didn't see anything, so our roof is good. And then we get up, and they're missing... a square of roofing because they didn't see it come down 2 yards from there or two houses down with that wind.
Yeah, my shingles are now in Kansas, right? But so they
right?
they don't get to see them. Well, I love this conversation because you keep reminding me of questions that have come up so many times here on the air. And we were in the old days when we had those crazy T-lock shingles up until 20 years ago or so. It was common for partial roof replacements. In other words, the hail's very directional, as you know. It would come from the west. Mm-hmm. And so the insurance company would pay to have the west face of the roof replaced and forget the rest of it. That we don't do that anymore, do we, Michael?
You know, it wasn't as common in the 2016 and 18 storms, but we've seen a little bit more of it recently. And I don't know if it's because the insurance profit margins have dropped or the stockholders have gotten tougher, but they have been a little bit more particular about saying, well, we'll do the west slope because that's where we're seeing the damage. Now, it does depend on the way that your roof ties together. A simple up and over, it's easy for them to say we'll do the south versus the north slope because it's not cut up. But you get a roof with a lot of gables and you're tearing into valleys, and it's harder for the insurance to piecemeal it.
By the way, why did we get rid of those old T-lock shingles? Was it the insurance company lobby didn't like them? Was that basically it?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They're hard to replace. So when they end up replacing whole slopes because of the way that those T-locks interlock together. And so you lose one and you can't repair it. You've got to replace the whole slope. And insurance wised up to that and said, you know what, they do last a long time, but when they go, and eventually insurance didn't want to insure them, and so manufacturers follow suit.
Yeah. Well, insurance companies have influence, and I'm not saying it's good or bad. Like, that's why we have airbags and seat belts and those sorts of things, and, and it sounds like that's now while we have Class 4 roofs, and that's good stuff. I mean, in long run, I think the consumer probably is better off. Well, can you spend a few more minutes with us?
Absolutely. I'd love to. Thank you.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a break now, and we'll be back. If you have some roofing questions for Michael O'Malley of Petrolli Roofing, by the way, you can call us at 719-473-1240. And if you want that free roof inspection, this is not a bait and switch or a come on or anything like that. It's just a local, honest company wanting to give you the best advice. They'll jump up there for free, tell you what's going on. Just call them at 719-375-8773. I got that right?
Yes, sir.
Did I do that right? Oh, good, from memory. Anyway, so give Petrolli a call. Full disclosure, I endorsed Petrolli here on the radio, and it's a good company, local company, great reputation, been around a long time. So, not many free lunches in the world, but if you want a free roof inspection, just give them the call. In the meantime, we're going to take a break, be back with some more comments and questions for Michael of Petrolli Roofing right after this, right here on Around the House. Stick around.
Need help with your next home project? Back to Around the House with Ken Moon. Give him a call now at 719-473-1240. That's 719-473-1240.
It's 10 minutes before the hour. We're talking to Michael O'Malley from Petrolli Roofing, our Colorado Springs roofing sponsor here on the program. Michael, I'm really enjoying this conversation. I wanted to end by talking a little bit. I know this is not a big part of your business, but gutters. I always tell people if your gutters need to be replaced, if you can wait till you get a new roof, it's great to do both at the same time. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's so much that tie into each other that if you're going to do one, you should do the other. Well, I say should, but you should at least have them evaluated. And if it's going to be within the next year, try to tie those two together.
Yeah, and any hailstorm of that's worth its name in terms of that 2-inch hail you or 2.5-inch hail you're talking about is probably going to ding up the gutters bad anyway, particularly if they're aluminum, I guess, huh? So you'll probably have a double claim there anyway.
Yeah, and most people don't realize how integral the gutters are to a healthy home. You know, as far as if those gutters fail, you've got water coming to your foundation, you've got ice damming coming back up into the roof, you've got well, if they're not carrying the water enough, there's so much potential for wood rot and mold and all kinds of other things that healthy gutters are. It's just a vital part of your home.
Yeah, and you, I assume if people ask you, you'll have a referral or two to, in terms of gutter installation, people you work with that you would recommend.
Yeah,
I assume.
Absolutely. We do have we do gutters when we do the roofs, and we've done gutters separately for people. It's not our bread and butter. You know, it's as a roofing company though, it's unavoidable to be able to be.
Oh, so gutters, you know, so that was a little bit of a misunderstanding on my part. So you just don't go out and put gutters on houses, but if it's part of a roof installation, then you'll handle all that. You're saying?
Yeah. Well, we do both. You know, it's just a little bit harder for us to get out and make it cost affordable for a customer.
Yes.
Who only wants 25 feet of gutter versus when we're doing it with the roof. But, you know, we never say no to gutter cleaning, gutter installation. In fact, many people use us for gutter cleaning because when we're up there, we do an inspection and it gives them peace of mind for their roof.
Yeah, well, one thing leads to another. You know, there's gutter covers or screens. I'm ambivalent about them. There's lots of brand names out there that you're very familiar with, and I'm not totally convinced that gutter covers or screens are a good idea in our part of the world. Give me a little feedback on that.
Yeah, not all gutter covers are created equally.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you've got to definitely be careful. Like, for instance, I made a mistake, and I put on a certain type of gutter cover on my gutters, and I don't know how it happens, but those pine needles, they fall directly down and plug up the size hole that I have, and so now it just backs up onto the roof, and so I've had to take off those gutter covers and just do my annual cleaning. You know, other times people will call someone to install even a good product, but the installation damages the roof because the people aren't pulling up the shingles the way they need to and then inserting that gutter cover underneath the shingles. And so we see a lot of roof damage from people who improperly install that. So, you know, I personally say save the money because it could be quite expensive, $6,000
Yes.
And save that money. You figure if you pay $150 for a gutter cleaning every year, I mean, you could stretch that $6,000 out for, oh, I don't know, 60 years. before it catches up to you.
The other part that I get lots of calls about is that certain gutter cover, and I'm not going to name them, but certain gutter cover systems on the north exposure of houses will accelerate ice dams and quickly clog up the gutters with ice and that sort of thing. So I'm with you. I'm not totally convinced they're a good idea versus I have a guy that comes to my house with a gas-powered leaf blower. He's the same guy that cuts my lawn. Twice a year, he blows the gutters out, and that's fine, and that's over with. And like you say, $6,000, $7,000, whatever, you can sure defray that cost for a long time. But do you have a comment on the ice dams? Because I've heard of this more than once here on the program.
Yeah, you know, if that water isn't making its way down into the gutter, and it's just building up on that on the gutter cover itself, of course it takes less time, less volume for it to back up onto the house. And the more that it backs up onto the house, the more exponential that problem gets. And so I personally like to have that 5-inch gutter receiving more water so that it has time to work its way away from my house.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, I sure hope I didn't put a crimp in your business. Just assuming the gutters were not a huge part of your business. Roofing is, you know.
No, they really aren't, you know, but gutters are something that we do go out and inspect and evaluate as part of our 21-point inspection.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so it's something that we handle for our customers. It's not something that we advertise as, hey, bring us out for your gutters. But most people do feel better about having a roofing company inspect their gutters and say, hey, how is this affecting my overall roofing system?
Well, and it's like one-stop shopping anyway, which is more convenient anyhow. And just like as we talked a half hour ago about ventilation, that you guys get involved with that because that's a great time to upgrade your attic ventilation when you get a new roof on. So again, mm-hmm. one-stop shopping. So yeah, it sounds like it works out for the customer all the way around. Well, this has been a great hour. I appreciate the conversation here, and I want to make sure I give you credit for your generous contribution of your time today. And y'all will do that roof inspection. Anybody that's listening to the program, just give them a call, and it's a freebie. And just that's 719-375-8773, and I would appreciate it if you would tell the folks that answer the phone there that you heard about it here on the program. So any final thoughts, Michael?
Yeah, just one last one. You know, it was years ago. I was relatively broke, just joined the military and had a flat tire, and so I went to a discount tire, and they fixed my tire for free, and I've been doing tires with them ever since, you know, and it's part of the reason why we do that free inspection, not a bait and switch, just a helpful way to give back to a community.
Yeah.
And like you said, give that peace of mind. So I figure you sow into people and you'll reap it eventually.
That's a great way to end the conversation. Thank you, buddy. And we'll talk soon. And I appreciate you sharing your time today with us.
Thanks again, Ken.
You bet. You take care. Michael O'Malley from Petrolli Roofing. That was a great conversation. Went by so quickly. There's just so many questions. I hope you all learned some things about roofing. And hail is, you know, coming whether we want it to or not. And there's still a lot of summer left. We can get hail even into the fall season. But hasn't been a big hail part of the world. Our part of the world hasn't been hailed on for 2 or 3 years. But you know it's coming back based on what we've gone through in the past. Anyhow, TJ, thanks for your help in the control room today. I think we're at the end of the hour, aren't we? Pretty much, yeah. So we will see you next time. Don't forget the podcast. Just go to aroundthehouse.com, click on podcast. Next week, John Creddy in our second hour, our Gardening with an Altitude guy. God bless. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next time right here on Around the House.